listening to the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour with Neil Sperry. Neil is America's most tenured gardening talk show host, and you can talk to him now. 888-256-1080. And now, here's Neil.
Good morning, everybody, and we welcome you to the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. That's Kelly Robinson, and the other voice that you will hear, but only if you make a phone call, is Nick Carissimi. And Nick is running the boards in the other studio and answering the phones in that same studio. And the way you can access those phones, and therefore me, is by calling this toll-free number. It's 888-256-1080. That's the number that Kelly gives you and gave you. 888-256-1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. And I hope you will give us a call. Please, give us a call. 888-256-1080. I broadcast live from the Lubbock area to Corpus Christi to College Station Bryan, all the way to deep East Texas Crockett, and up along the Sabine River and up along the Red River, just about 30, 32 stations, Alpine in the Big Bend country, one of my favorite places to visit. Odds are good, unfortunately, that many of you have not been to Alpine, unless you're listening in Alpine, then you might have been there. But if you've never been to Alpine, they may not want me giving these promos for their beautiful city, but it is just a jewel. It's at more than 5,000 feet above sea level in the mountains, the Davis Mountains, and just north of the Cheesus Mountains where the Big Bend National Park is. I love West Texas, Southwest Texas it is, and just beautiful. Anyway, give us a call, won't you please? Parts of Texas, like the part that I am in, up and down Interstate 45, parts of Texas are wet, very wet. And we at our home outside the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Collin County, McKinney area, we have gone past 11 inches in the last 5 days. And I know that there are those of you in the panhandle who say we have not had 11 inches in the last 5 months or almost last year or whatever. And my heart goes to you, and I don't mean to gloat on that, but there are people flooding here now. And so, you know, let's share the wealth and spread it around our great state. Parts of Texas had ice earlier this week as a part of all of this craziness and lost trees. And so we can talk about that if you'd like to. I'm here to talk about your garden, your plants. When you get a bunch of rain, and you remember in 2015 when Midland, Odessa, and places that normally don't get a lot of rain, they were having soggy conditions and gardens were having a hard time growing because the water table was so high. That's why you plant in raised garden beds. You can always add water. It's just a lot harder to subtract it. So it's always a good plan to develop your vegetable garden beds and your flower beds and even your shrub beds just 2 or 3 inches above the surrounding grade. You'll have much better results if you do that. And weeks like this in the eastern half of Texas or eastern third of the state really do prove that once again. So let's talk about what you might want to do for this springtime. Let's talk about what's working in your landscape right now or how I can help you with your landscape and your garden. I'll tackle anything outdoors. I'll tackle houseplants. I have taken calls for more than 40 years on the radio, and I love it. If I don't know an answer, I'll tell you that I don't know, and I'll try to figure a way to get that answer to you, either through my Facebook page, if you put a post there to say, hey, Neil, I talked to you on the radio, and here is that such and such. I'll try to help you that way or whatever. And my goal is to help you with your garden. And we'll get the program underway in just a moment. Annette in Palestine will be our first call today. You could be the second. All you have to do is pick up that phone and give us a call right now. Again, it is a toll-free call. You invest nothing in this other than a little bit of time to call. And, you know, one favor I would ask, just for your own best interest, don't call at a quarter of 12. Call now. 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Call while lines are open and while there's plenty of time to get you on the air. 888-256-1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening is my book. It is the reference book that you will pull out often. It will become a handbook that you'll use frequently. It is a book that I self-published. It is about a quarter century newer than the book that you'll find in stores and on Amazon. That one has the cowboy boots. Everybody says, oh, I've got your book. I use it all the time. Got it. It has the cowboy boots on the cover. Well, I'm glad you have it, but it's also way out of date at this point. That was last touched. The last time I made any changes in that book was 1991. Actually, 1990, I was editing it and then fine-tuning it so that it could go to the printer. This book is a quarter century newer, more up-to-date. So I would love to have you get a copy of this book and see if you don't agree that it is absolutely worth the $31.95. plus tax and postage you'll have to pay. It is not in stores, and it is not on Amazon. The only way you can get my newest book is by ordering it from my office. I chose to do that because I did self-publish it so that I could hire my own editor, Carolyn Skye, my own graphic designer, Cindy Smith, and so I could make the decisions of what I wanted to put in my book. 840 of my photographs, 344 pages, more than 25 multi-page charts. I worked a year writing this book, and the photos are kind of the additional bonus for it. It covers all aspects of outdoor gardening. Chapter 1 is the basics of gardening. Chapter 2, I've never put in a book before. It's a 48-page calendar telling you when to plant, prune, fertilize, and spray all the plants in your landscape and garden. And then think about the things that are out in your landscape and in your garden and assign a chapter to each one of them. And those are chapters 3 through 11. Trees, shrubs, vines, ground covers, annuals, perennials, fruit, vegetables, and lawns. It's all there. Satisfaction guaranteed, and every book goes out signed, inscribed personally if you wish, and you can order it on my website at neilsperry.com, neilsperry.com, or you can call Monday through Friday 9 to 5, 1-800-752-GROW. It's, again, just $31.95 plus tax and postage, not in stores, not on Amazon. 800-752-4769, or the better way is order right now at neilsperry.com. NEILSPERRY.com. Homegrown goodness, that's what Mueller is all about. Mueller's been producing quality steel buildings and metal roofing right here in Texas. Been doing it for more than 85 years. Well, right now you can grow a Mueller greenhouse right in your own backyard. Their easy-to-assemble, bolt-together greenhouses come in four sizes, from 6x9 to 12x18. They feature a galvanized steel frame with more than 30 designer trim colors from which to choose. With hail-resistant polycarbonate panels, lockable walk doors and windows, a Mueller greenhouse will let the sun shine in while it protects your plants year-round. Don't let the weather ruin what you've worked so hard to produce. Get a great greenhouse from a great Texas-grown company. Visit Mueller online at MuellerInc.com, MuellerInc.com, MuellerInc. MuellerInc.com, or give them a call today at 877-2, that's the number 2, 877-2-MUELLER, 877-268-3553. Mueller means more.
Before Neil goes to his first call, here's that number again, 888-256-1080. Once again, here's Neil.
Thank you, Kelly, and I will tell you that all the phone lines are filled. Thank you all for calling early today. That really helps you, and it also kind of helps the talk show host because he knows he's not going to die on the vine out here. Let's start with Annette in Palestine. Annette, this is Neil. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Annette. How may I help you?
Okay, I was wondering if there are any... I don't know if we have a rose rosette in Palestine area, but I know that we have a heck of a problem with black spot. You know, the...
Oh, yeah.
And I had treated my roses and treated them, and they died on me anyway.
Well, let me help you with the easy one first. Black spot is... was the original research of Dr. Steve George to try to find black spot resistant roses. And he started that about 20 years ago, 22 years ago. And if you go to Earthkind Roses, Texas A&M's Earthkind Roses, those over a period of time have been designated by A&M as being the most resistant to black spot. I don't know how many there are now. There were probably 20 or so.
Okay.
I'll explain in a moment why I'm a little foggy on the number. But that was a really comprehensive study that went far beyond just the boundaries of Texas as it expanded. Steve's a good friend of mine, and he took that nationally and beyond that to try to find those most resistant varieties that wouldn't have to be sprayed for black spot. The reason I'm a little foggy on it is that I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where rose rosette virus, which black spot's a fungus, the virus has hit in epidemic proportions in the Metroplex, and it has reduced almost all rose varieties to rubble. And rosarians have been asked to remove all of their roses as soon as they are deemed to be infested with rose rosette virus. And as I mentioned, I think on this program or somewhere on radio a week or two ago, it's been 5 years in the Metroplex since I have seen a nice rose flower formed. It's just ruined roses. I don't know that they're a problem for you yet in Palestine, and or whether it is. I don't know if it will become that. It has been reported in San Antonio. I don't know how prevalent it is. The place that it showed up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area first was on knockout roses, and not because of knockout necessarily. They're not the carrier. But they were used in and have been used a lot of places in mass quantities where they're just planted side by side by side by side. And so when the microscopic mite that carries the virus got started, it just had no problem just stepping from plant to plant. And so anyway, I have a lot of information on my website at neilsperry.com. I've left it archived there for the past 3 years on my homepage so that you can see what rose rosette looks like. You can read everything that I have to say about it. Texas A&M is doing research on it and trying to find varieties that might be resistant or old roses that might have resistance and that could be used for breeding stock or things that I don't understand about genetic transfer things that smart people do.
Okay, well, I wondered if maybe the older roses would be resistant to it.
They may be. They have not necessarily shown that yet, but I'm way above my water level on that one as far as understanding all of the things that they're working on right now. But, the folks at A&M, there's a $5 million grant underway at A&M to try to find a workaround for rose rosette. Anyway, that's everything I know, and probably, Annette, about three more things than I know. I probably told you more than I know. I had a program director accuse me of that once. Neil, I think you've told people more than you know.
Well, as to that, we have had constant rain, and so I think...
Yeah.
It's hard for you to keep roses whenever it rains like that.
Well, the knockout roses are pretty, not knockout, the Earthkind roses are pretty close to bulletproof, so give them a try.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a great day. Let's go to Lynn in Abilene. Lynn, this is Neil. Good morning.
Hi, Neil.
Hi there.
I spoke with you several years ago. I had a blackjack oak tree in the front yard that got seared by a home fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked you about replacing it. We left it a couple of years, see if it'd come back. It didn't. We took it out. Mm. And about 3 years ago, I placed a maple in its place. And it's growing great. It's doing well. But I want to know about trimming it. Should I take out the branches that grow towards the center?
What kind of maple is it, first of all? I don't know that it
affects you. I can't tell you.
Okay. You know, pruning, I always equate advising people on pruning to advising somebody how to give a haircut.
Right.
You know, if I called you and asked you how to give our grandson a haircut, you'd say, that's kind of tough to do. And I'd say the same thing here. Limbs that go back into the center of a tree rarely accomplish much. So you're probably okay taking them out. The things that I would want to see in a branch structure of any tree would be a reason to exist? Is it going to, is it in the wintertime, am I going to see a nice branch structure that has a fairly symmetrical growth to it? Is there a reason for that branch to be headed that way? Why on earth would it need to go back through the center of the tree where it might rub into other branches and send them off course or rub into them and cause a natural grafting that could end up being a problem for them?
Yes, sir.
You know, there's just a lot of things that would make it not a good idea to leave it there. Is the tree symmetrical otherwise?
The ones growing towards the center are small.
Okay, hang on just a second. I want to hear what you just said, and it cut out a little bit. You said something about growing toward a fence?
The branches that grow towards the center are small.
Okay. You mean like twigs or like actual branches?
No, they could be actual branches if I left them.
Okay. All right, and so how big are they now?
Right now they are about the size, two pencils wide.
Finger size.
Yeah.
Okay. Those will probably self-prune, I would imagine. They'll probably run out of sunlight, and they will probably just kind of die away and break off eventually. It would help to know what kind of maple. If it's really big maple that has a lot of dense foliage, it'd be different than if it's a smaller tree.
It's supposed to get pretty large.
Yeah. I would suggest taking your question with a photo into a really good independent retail garden center on a day when the owner or the manager is there, the top person in that nursery, not a national chain nursery, but a nursery, and just present the question to them. And if you have a leaf or two on the ground, still take that with you for ID purposes. It may be that they can identify it from an overall photo of the tree, even bare. But I'd let them look at it and see. I'd hesitate to send you out there. There's going to come a time. Here's my answer, I think, Lynn. There's going to come a time in a year or two or three when that tree gets large enough that you're not going to be able to do that with the upper branches anyway. So I think it's kind of a non. My vote is probably you don't need to worry too much.
Okay, great.
Yeah, but if you want to get a second opinion, I'm certainly not offended. Picture is worth a lot on that one. If you want to post that on my Facebook page, I'd love to see it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, atta girl. Thank you. Let me get an ad out of the way. We have Kayler in Brenham and TJ in Brenham. It's the Brenham moment. Yeah. Tried to say that one fast. Apparently, I can't. Let's tell you about Neil Sperry's eGardens. I did something this week, and I'm going to tell you how you can access it still, even if you're not signed up for eGardens. I told you about this last week. I did something I've never done in 16 years of publishing eGardens. I did one devoted to one topic. It was our spring lawn special edition. I've never done that. Usually with eGardens, this is my free electronic newsletter that comes from my computer to your computer or your phone or your tablet every Thursday night, just a little after 6 o'clock. And my goal is that it's kind of like a garden section, and it comes just before the weekend so that you can react to it on Friday when you come home and you want to stop by the nursery and buy some things and be ready for Saturday morning when you go out into the garden. Aren't you out in the garden right now in the rain and working? May not be raining where you are, but anyway, you get my point. So 5 stories every week, and one of them is a plant of the week, one of them is a question of the week, or sometimes 2 questions of the week, things to do this weekend, things of that sort. And so this one time this week, I did everything was related to lawns. If you want to see that one, you can still see it and print it if you'd like to. If you go to neilsperry.com, that's where you sign up for eGardens. It'll be there for a week or two, neilsperry.com, and then click on the eGardens tab. There is the sign-up page that will show up first, and I hope you'll sign up. But then right beneath that, if you scroll down just a little bit, you'll see the eGardens from, what was it, the 22nd of February, and that's the lawn care special. So I hope you'll sign up, though, so that you'll always get Neil Sperry's eGardens, my free electronic newsletter. I don't spam you, and I'll never give or sell your email address to anyone. Give it a try, please. Neil Sperry's eGardens at neilsperry.com. More after these messages.
Call Neil Sperry now with your gardening question. It's toll-free anywhere, 888-256-1080. Once again, here's Neil.
All right, Kelly, thank you very much. And we have cleared out those two lines that we've emptied, so they're now available to you. 888-256-1080, just like Kelly said just now. Kelly Robinson there, 888-256-1080. Good time to call. Let's go to Brenham. It's Kaler. Kaler, good morning.
Good morning. I've got a question. Of course, with all this rain and stuff, I'm trying to get down some broadleaf weed killer with a sprayer. And Monday they say we'll maybe have 6 to 10 hours of sunlight. Is that enough time, or do I need to wait until after Wednesday when they got 4 or 5 days?
I'd wait till Wednesday. Absolutely wait till Wednesday. I was looking at the long range for the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and we have another rain batch coming in, I think probably about like you are, and then some clear sailing. I'd wait. Here is what I see on labels, and here is what I hear on claims, even on ad copy I'm given to read, that it works if it's on the plant for 24 hours. I really still like to say 48 hours without rain or irrigation, but at least 24 hours. And if you have 6 or 8 hours and then you begin to worry about it might be a shower, I really would rather wait a day or two. It's not going to make that much difference in the growth of the weeds. And it might make a lot of difference in the efficacy of the herbicide. I'd wait.
Okay. Another question. Do you see any problem with fertilizing today, even though it's not raining here, but the ground is wet?
How much rain have you had in the last 5 days?
Probably four inches.
Yeah, I can tell by the groan. Yes, sir. I see major problem, because if you try to water that in, it's going to sit right there in the there's no place for it to go. The nutrients cannot soak into the soil. They will immediately be carried across the surface of the soil. And then if you do get another inch or two today or Monday, Tuesday, whenever that is, then it'll be down the Brazos River somewhere, or whatever river. Yeah. And so yes, wait on that one also. It's kind of early. And let me speak to the rest of the state. You're fairly far south. It's pretty early to be fertilizing unless you have ryegrass. The only place I would feel any rush to fertilize on fertilized lawns in late February would be way down, right along the coast or in South Texas, deep South Texas. I think you can wait another week and not, or 2 or 3 weeks and not be embarrassed. You're not talking about ryegrass, correct?
No. It's St. Augustine.
You could very easily wait 3 weeks and not be late. I wouldn't fertilize this early if you ask me. I'd say no, please don't.
Okay. Well, that answers my question.
Yeah, you can watch the Olympics. You're off the hook today.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for calling. All right, let's go to TJ, also in Brenham. We'll get Brenham all taken care of here. Hello, TJ.
I cannot say enough good things about your book. That new book is outstanding.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was fun doing it. Thank you, sir.
And my question is, I have a backyard area I'm going to put in a garden. It's very poor soil. I've turned up glass and rocks, and I think it's just been dumped in there to fill. So the soil is not good, and it also has about a 16-inch slope in it. So I have opted to put in raised beds using landscape timbers and leveling everything up. Mm-hmm. My question is, I'm able to build my soil from scratch. So, you know, is there a formula for peat moss and mulch and manure and topsoil and other ingredients that will make a good, rich soil for me to begin my vegetable garden?
Yes, sir. I'll do my very best to help you with that. Now, let me see if I understand. You have a 16-inch drop from one side to the downhill side?
One corner to the other corner, kind of like northwest to southwest.
All right. And so are you going to do anything to remove any soil on that top part of the hill?
No, I'm not. I'm just going to build it up.
All right. And how high will you be above that high corner? 4 or 5 inches?
Well, with landscape timbers, I'm probably going to go because I can plant in that corner,
yeah,
I'll probably go 8 to 10 inches above the ground level.
Okay, and the reason I'm asking, and I may have set you up to answer me, to be uncomfortable in your answer, you may not need to go. If I'm understanding properly, you have a corner that is, what corner is the highest corner? I'll use your directions.
Let's think northwest.
All right, if the northwest corner is the high corner, you might not have to raise the bed on the northwest corner. You're going to have enough internal drainage that you could actually prepare your garden using that as your base spot. You don't have to come up 8 inches above that. Because if you do that, then you're going to have a wall down at the bottom. You're going to have something really, it's going to need a physicist down there to engineer the thing. Okay, so let's just assume that you stay at that level. Then you need to do some pretty heroic work at that corner in improving that soil so it'll be fit for gardening. You might want to take some of that soil out. That was what I was trying to ask, and I didn't ask it properly. You might want to take a shovel and take some of the rototill it and throw that down to the low area, and then bring soil over the whole area. And if you have access to some good sandy loam topsoil that is free of nutgrass, that would be an ideal base of all of this basis. You don't want to add a lot. You don't want to count on organic matter being the major thing that you add to a raised garden. From this point on, everything I say to you, TJ, is going to apply to everybody listening when they build up a garden. The fact that you had that slope is the only thing different. From this point on, everything's going to work for everybody. When you build up a raised bed, you need some native soil there, because if you count on organic matter to do it, peat moss and rotted manure and compost and finely ground bark mulch, pine bark mulch and things of that sort, they decay and they'll settle down and your garden suddenly won't be raised anymore. It'll be way down at the original level. So you have to use those things, but you need that sandy loam topsoil as probably 80% of what you add in there. So if you're going to raise it down at the bottom end by 15 inches or 16 inches, then probably 12 of those inches will be the soil. And then up at the top, maybe 4 or 5 inches of it will be that topsoil. Sandy loam topsoil. Man, if you could go up the road toward Clay Station and beyond up toward College Station, get some of that Brazos River soil, that's what you want. Go up there see if somebody will sell you some. Anyway, that's what you would do. And then what I do beyond that is I will add about 6 inches of organic matter, a couple of inches of sphagnum peat moss, an inch of pine bark mulch, finely shredded pine bark mulch, an inch of compost, really well-decayed compost, and then an inch of rotted manure, processed rotted manure. And if I'm amending a clay soil, I'll add in about an inch of expanded shale. And I'll rototill that down about a foot into the soil. So that would go into that topsoil that you've brought in, and up on the corner, northwest corner, it would be mixed into the existing soil that you have. Use a rear tine tiller, and you're going to have something that just feels like potting soil when you start working it then. Bring that up slightly above the grade of the surrounding wall that you have built, the retaining wall. And then you're going to have a really good, by an inch or two, it's going to settle down as you garden in and just mound it up like the top of a loaf of bread that you're baking.
Raised beds are 4 feet wide by 32 feet long.
Man, that's going to be heaven. That's going to be wonderful.
And so, you know, I'm wanting to enrich those. I've got 3 of them. And I'm wanting to build that soil. And then I guess each year as decaying takes place,
You replenish, yes.
Add compost and natural ingredients.
Add the same things, but probably in about half the amount that I prescribed.
Yeah.
And you will not need to add the expanded shale as often, probably every 4 or 5 years.
Okay. Sounds great.
You're on your way. Good deal.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Have a great day. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, we'll come back and go to Lisa in Alpine. There's somebody in Alpine. Always good to talk to Alpine. And James in Coleman as we head out toward the west. Let me tell you about my website, neilsperry.com. You know, I referred you there to sign up for eGardens a minute ago, and I referred you there to get my book. Those are two things you can do at my website. You also will see my 1001 Frequently Asked Questions. That actually was a book I published several years ago. I didn't self-publish that one. The publisher in that case went out of business a month later, and I waited and waited, and nothing happened to it. So I just decided, well, I have the copyright. I'm just going to stick that one on my website. And so there it is for you, free of charge. 1001 Frequently Asked Questions. You didn't have to pay $20-some dollars for it. So I hope you go to my website and look around a little bit, and while you're there, do sign up for eGardens, my electronic newsletter, and while you're there, take a look at my book and see if you don't agree it's something you might want to have in your library. It's one of the best horticulturist websites in Texas, and I think you'll find that it's a good one to put a little bookmark on and go back to every once in a while. NeilSperry.com, NeilSperry.com. More after these messages.
Call Neil Sperry now with your gardening question. It's toll-free anywhere, 888-256-1080. Once again, here's Neil.
Thank you, Kelly, very much. Folks, I love doing this program. I hope you know that. We've had a lot of questions today. We've gone from Brenham to Palestine to Alpine now. You know, it would take you a long, long day to drive from Palestine to Alpine, and you can listen to this program and be in both cities on the same radio program, and that's kind of cool. If you've not been to either one of those two cities, they are two extreme cities in our state and equally beautiful for their own reasons. Lisa, this is Neil. Good morning.
Morning, and thank you for appreciating and loving Alpine.
Spent my first 2 years of my life in Alpine. Don't remember a lot about it. I didn't do a lot of hiking, but but all the times I've come back, I have loved it every time. How can I help you today?
I have a question about pre-emergence.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to put down some pre-emergent. I have a few pecan trees, and I wanted to put down something that was not going to harm them. And they have five different products here, and one is Amaze. The other is Scott's Halt. Then they have a Preen and a DuraTurf, Bonide, Crabgrass, and Weed Preventer. And then also another brand. Most of these don't really, I think a couple of them do say they contain Dimension. I had thought that you had recommended two different pre-emergents, one for grassy weeds and one for broadleaf weeds.
I do. The Gallery is the one that I recommend for broadleafed weeds. You're probably not going to need a broadleafed pre-emergent for the summertime, Lisa. Now, anything's possible, and your conditions in Alpine, it's much more arid, and little individual weeds can pop up, and I understand that. I get that. But
we have lots of dandelions.
Yeah, and that's a cool season weed. See, that's where you would use Gallery the first week of September or the last week of August. That timing is pretty much statewide, and Gallery
those
would help with that.
Come up in the summer here, too.
Beg your pardon?
We have them in the summer.
Well, but and there's another good feature about dandelions and the other broadleafed weeds. You get a second chance with them. You can use a broadleafed weed killer spray on those. So the use of a pre-emergent is not your only chance, whereas with grassy weeds, it is. We don't have grassy weed killers that we can use after they're growing. So you don't get a way to kill grass burrs once they're growing. You don't get a way to kill annual bluegrass in the wintertime once it's growing. That's why those pre-emergents are so critical. The products that you mentioned are all going to be fine around, I don't know the DuraTurf, but they're all going to be fine around pecan trees. If you find a product that says do not use beneath trees, then it's going to have active ingredients that will be taken up through, and some of the broadleafed weed killer sprays that are post-emergent for existing weeds will say that, and those you must not use under trees, or at least if you do, you need to use them as spot treating only that dandelion right there, not hose them down over the whole area. I'm getting way far afield. I don't want to spend that much time on random things off base. The pre-emergence, when I mentioned Team or Dimension or Halts, that's to give you some bit of fine-tuning. and so that I don't have to go through the long chemical names of these things. You're talking about at Morrison's. Is that where you're looking?
Yes.
Yes, they will. They will guide you very straight to products that you can use. And I think if you just ask them the same question, which of these would you recommend that I use? They'll show you. Bonide products are fabulous. Halts is a very good pre-emergent. It's only a pre-emergent. It doesn't do anything else, so it would be fine as well.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, but now those are for the summer weeds, and those are for the Halts, for example, and Dimension will be for grassy weeds. They'd be for crabgrass and grass burrs.
Okay.
And the other summertime grassy weeds. Anything you can see now needed to have been treated some other time earlier.
Yeah, we're not really seeing anything right now.
Yeah.
At least I'm not.
Well, that's good news. This is almost hocus pocus. If you can see it, then you can't use a pre-emergent on it. You got to do it when you can't see it. Yeah, which is kind of crazy. So anyway,
okay.
I hope that helps. Love your town. I'll come out and see you one of these days.
Okay, great.
Atta girl.
Please
thank
do
you
that.
So much. Appreciate it. All right. Let me take my last break, and then we have three calls. It's filled here, and we have great questions, and I'll try to help you. Let me tell you about, I'll do a short version of my book ad, Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. You've heard some nice comments about my book, and I hope you would make some once you get it. I always promise money-back guarantee if you're not totally satisfied, and I've not been asked to refund one penny on the book in the time that it has been out. 35,000 copies we've sold, not one request for refund, so thank you for that, and I don't think it's going to start anytime soon. There'll be somebody who eventually will ask, and that's fine, whatever it is. But it's $31.95 plus tax and postage. Chapter 1 is the basics of gardening in the Lone Star State. What do you need to know about soils and climate and hardiness zones and that. Chapter 2 is the calendar, month by month, what needs to be planted, pruned, fertilized, and sprayed in January, and then in February and March, 4 pages per month all the way through the year, 48 pages. Chapter 3 is an exhaustive chapter covering all aspects of trees in Texas landscapes, and then Chapter 4 is shrubs, then vines, ground covers, annuals, perennials, fruit, vegetables, and lawns. It's all in the book. 840 of my photographs, 344 pages. This book is not in stores, and it is not on Amazon. It's only $31.95 plus tax and postage, and I sign every book. I'll personalize it if you request it. The only way you can get it is from my website or by calling my office Monday through Friday. The website, the better way, is neilsperry.com, neilsperry.com, or you can order by calling Monday through Friday 9 to 5. And that number is toll-free, 800-752-GROW, 800-752-4769, or at neilsperry.com. There's a lot of talk these days about Made in America. Let me tell you about something that's been made in America for more than 85 years. Mueller Metal Roofing and Steel Buildings are made right here by people who care about quality of both materials and workmanship. Whether it's a metal roof for your home or a custom steel building or even a shed or a greenhouse for the backyard, Mueller means quality. Mueller has 4 manufacturing facilities right here in the USA, and with 33 branches for sales and service, there's a Mueller location near you. When you choose Mueller for metal buildings or roofing, you're choosing the best quality products to protect your family and your property. And you're supporting local jobs and local families. Ordinary, hardworking folks who are proud to provide a product made right here in America. Mueller Metal Roofing and Steel Buildings. More than 85 years of making customers' dreams come true. When a business has been around for 85 years, you can trust that they are doing things right. They can give you a more beautiful home, greater comfort, and better peace of mind. Visit MuellerInc.com, MuellerInc.com, or give them a call at 877-2-MUELLER to find a location near you. 877-268-3553. Mueller, made in America and made to last. More after this.
This is the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour with Neil Sperry. Hear it every week at this time. And now, once again, here's Neil.
All right, Kelly, thank you very, very much. And we're going to hurry through our calls because all of a sudden we have full lines. Want to get to everybody. Let's go to James in Coleman. James, this is Neil. How may I help you?
Oh, good morning, Neil. I sure like your show.
Thank you. How can I help on the hen bit?
On the hen bit, what I've found is I've got a yard that I don't like to water, is minimal watering.
Yes, sir.
And I've done a real good job with getting some Bermuda started on the whole thing. But to me, every time all this other grass comes up, it robs my Bermuda of water and nutrients that I'm going to need later in the summer. And right now, my yard is just replete with henbit.
Well, let me explain to everybody. Henbit is the weed that has little purple flowers for about 2 weeks in the springtime and has scalloped leaves. Everybody's familiar with it, probably. It lasts for about 3 weeks after it starts blooming, and then it dies. It'll get powdery mildew, and then it gets spider mites. Some people talk about putting it in salads. Well, watch out for the spider mites. And mowing is the easiest way to get rid of it. When it starts blooming, if you just mow your yard, it is a very weak weed, and it will not come back that year. However, once it starts blooming, it's got seeds there for two more years, three more years worth of crop. So you need to get it out of the yard, and that should help you. That's my best suggestion. Gallery applied the first week of September. We'll keep it from germinating, so you won't have to deal with it next year. But right now, I wouldn't even spray it with a broadleaf weed killer. Just mow it as soon as it's dry enough to mow. Carol in College Station, shrubs in containers. What would work well for you? I would go with hollies. There are so many nice hollies that are beautiful. Junipers do well in containers. Boxwood would be very pretty in containers. I hope you'll call me back with a little more time, and we can expand on it a little bit and develop a list. Carl in San Angelo, preparing garden soil with bat guano. Don't get a lot of bat guano questions. I'd like to have had more time there as well, but it's a highly fertile organic matter. You won't need very much, kind of expensive if you use much. That's the best I have in the time I have. Nick Carisme, nice job. Thanks for listening. Happy gardening.